It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up, Caleb Johnson, in with my co-host Joe Patrick on this Wednesday, May 18th. We're coming to you after the Milwaukee series has wrapped up. Kind of hopeful of another, you know, kind of step in the right direction for the Braves. And instead, womp womp, quite the opposite. Yeah. Joe, how you feeling there, bud?
Forgive us if this episode just devolves into us ranting about the way that this game has gone. No, what I was going to say to you, what we were kind of talking about before we started recording here, is that this game feels like a perfect encapsulation to me of this Braves season, where, especially when you contrast it to last year, where last year they would find ways to win and keep themselves in, even just playing close games and just keep giving themselves chances to win basically every single game they played after the trade deadline last year. And this year, it just seems like they're so inconsistent and so vulnerable in all these different areas of the team. And today it happened to be, you know, the bullpen. Kenley Jansen blew the save. You know, it was a tough one for him. And to be fair to him, he had an incredible stretch of, I think, 26 consecutive save chances converted. So you can't be like feeling too bad about it. But man, it's just when you had a 4-0 lead with Max Fried on the mound against Corbin Burns, you felt pretty good about this one, or at least I did. And maybe that was misplaced optimism considering the form that this Braves team has going right now.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, for one, you have to kind of, I don't know, under like Max wasn't perfect himself. You know, he certainly contributed to this, although it was one of those like the Max was Max, you know, in yeah. that pretty dominant for the most part, got away from him a little bit, but it should have been enough that the Braves were able to maintain this. You talk about, you know, teams of the past. Yeah, I think I'm getting to a point where all of this optimism around the team of like, come on, guys, it's only May. And it's one of those like, weren't we saying that in April? And weren't we saying that, you know, in March? Like, it's one of those, it kind of gets to a weird point where like, yeah, we're still technically early in the season. But there are massive holes that we're watching this team have, injuries that continue to pop up, and that's something that we can definitely get into, but it leaves very little optimism, even when you have moments of getting wins like yesterday, where, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about Tucker Davidson, I think, especially after, you know, the Braves have really struggled to figure out what they were going to do with that fifth man. They gave Tucker the one opportunity early in the year. It didn't look good. Immediately sent him back down to Gwinnett. And yet they kind of gave some other guys some looks. And, you know, we even did the whole opener situation that clearly did not work out with Jesse Chavez. And then, oh man, Chavez, you know, gets burnt again today.
Yeah.
It's tough when you can get excited about things like, oh, the Braves finally have figured out, you know, potentially their fifth man, and Ronald Acuna comes back, and then it gets overshadowed by things falling apart like it did today.
Well, isn't it interesting that when they scored the 4 runs today, I felt like, I don't know how you felt, Caleb, but I felt like when they scored 4 runs, like, okay, this is a game you have to win, like, or like you should be winning because yeah. like with the way that this offense performs, it's like they've thrown so many. Maybe not getting shut out, though that did happen once in this series. You know, it's just not been a potent offense this year, and it feels like if you score 4 runs, then that's finally an opportunity for you to take a game. And so, again, that's why when you lose this one, it's hard to be too harsh on, you know, some of the pitchers that came in. And I think the bullpen actually did a really good job, again, outside of Kenley Jansen's outing, which wasn't even, like, terrible or anything, but he just, you know, he gave up the run. But, you know, it's just like one of those things where right now the Braves are playing on such small margins that you just like can't make mistakes and still be able to win these ball games. You know, they've got to basically, it feels like they have to play perfect to win a game or close to it. And this was just one of those games that got away from them. And it's really a shame because it takes you from, I think, having a really momentum-building win, you know, getting out of this Milwaukee series against a good team, a really good pitching staff in the Brewers, and it obviously felt horrible after that first game when you lose it 1-0, and then to potentially win the series, that would have been a huge boost for this team, I think, and especially with a day off and then starting, you know, a big grind of the schedule. And so it's just really disappointing that you weren't able to hold on to it.
Well, it's essentially what I was expecting today is essentially what happened last week or a week and a half ago, whatever it was, when the Braves played the Brewers, previously, yeah, where it was one of those, yeah, you won your last two of the series and you felt good. I think that team was heading into to a homestand continuing with Boston, mm-hmm, and, you know, they split or whatever. It is what it is. But you at least felt better about things. And now you're right, it's kind of back in that same position of like, here we go again. I mean, I will say this. Thankfully, the Braves are headed, when they go out of town, to face the Marlins. You know, it's one of those, yeah, like, well, if you needed a pick-me-up, you know, that should be a place that you should be able to get it, although it, what they lost, 2 out of 3 to the Marlins the last time they faced them well, earlier in the year.
I mean, I feel like it's a pattern of this season where I'm just looking at the schedule right now, and this team does not have 3 consecutive wins or 3 consecutive losses. So, you know, it's like glass half full, glass half empty, but still, like, there's just like no modicum of consistency either way with this team. And I think that's really what I've been talking about when I've been going on the radio and stuff, talking about this team, which is that they just don't really have an identity. It's like they're just kind of floating around trying to, you know, grab on to a, you know, something to hang their hat on. But right now it just doesn't exist. And it's just, until they figure that out, they're obviously not going to be a good ball team.
Yeah. Well, and here's the strange thing, Joe. I think one of the things that's frustrated me the most and has also been disappointing is Ronald Acuna has been doing his part when he's healthy. Seeing that obviously yesterday and today again, and yet that's still not enough, which is not what I expected. I will be very truthful that when we saw him ramping things back up with Gwinnett and they finally made that decision to bring him up, I was like, this is going to be the boost. Like, the guy's going to have to get in a rhythm. And yet he's, you know, dealt with this. What's his name? He called it not a groin injury, which is actually what it is.
A groin?
Groin, yeah.
Brian Jordan, poor BJ.
Yeah, I know. I loved it.
He said it like 3 consecutive times in, yep, like a 10-second span.
Yep, no producer could save him from that. So, yeah, well, even with Ronald Acuna dealing with his groin injury, he still has been a positive lift. Like, yesterday, he was a part of every run the Braves scored, and yet it's still not enough, which is one of those things that it's taken me by surprise, and also just kind of tells you how deficient the Braves are in different areas. And it's we can't get a point where it's like consistent,
yeah,
where it's like, okay, you at least know it's this guy or these two. It's like, no, everybody take your turn as to who's going to struggle. And it's causing the Braves to really not score runs when they need to.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Acuna right now, because I think it's really good that we've seen him come back, obviously, recently and start playing again, because I was, to be perfectly honest, having concerns that he was going to go on the DL just because he'd been out of, yeah, the lineup for so long. And, you know, with obviously that kind of injury, it's something that sometimes you just have to rest it. And it's not like something that would have been a big deal, but it would have been, I think, a little demoralizing to see him go down. But I do think that the injury in and of itself is a little bit of a reality check as to, you know, just how the Braves need to treat the situation with Ronald, and the fact that it's not one of those things where it's just like, he's back, he can go back into the, you know, he can go back to the lineup, play every day, et cetera, et cetera. And it's one of those things that's tough to manage for, it would be tough to manage for anybody with a player like Ronald Acuna, just because the way he plays, he's going to go out and play 100%. And so it's one of those things where the Braves have to, they have to be the ones who protect Acuna. Like, you can't say tell Acuña to go out there and kind of like play at half speed. And there's been kind of some insinuations, not of like playing half speed, but, you know, Brian Snicker has made mention of the fact that he needs to like be able to protect himself when he's out there and, you know, maybe not go like all out for everything, which I think is, it's a little harsh on Ronald specifically because of some of the drama that he's been involved with in his career with the Braves, where he's been accused of not, you know, playing, you know, as hard as he maybe should. And to that, I mean, I don't mean to dig up a bunch of stuff in the past, but, you know, there's definitely fault on, you know, to be had for on Ronald in some of those situations. But he's clearly a guy who puts his body on the line when he plays baseball. And that's just what's so exciting about him. That's what kind of what makes him who he is. And so, I don't know, it's just, I think this groin injury just really, you know, brings back into focus the fact that you got to be careful and really manage his playing time to make sure that he's not overextending himself. And I don't think it's purely on Ronald to like be going out there and trying to like, you know, just avoid injuries by yourself. There's a responsibility that the team has as well to make sure that he's not being put in those situations. And I get that they don't want to do that because they want to put him in the field so they don't have someone like Marcell Ozuna out there or something on a, you know, on a day. But this is the situation they're in right now. This is the roster that they have, and you know, if protecting Acuña means that Marcell Ozuna might have to play left field, I mean that hurts you defensively. But you know, that's something that the Braves have to do. That's not like something that Ronald has to do. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about the Acuña situation coming off this groin injury?
So, here's my take when it comes to Ronald Acuña. This is what you're going to deal with for the rest of his career. There is this idea, and you're right, Joe. I was in the press conference a couple days ago when Brian Snicker said, you know, yeah, maybe when he's more of an older player, because he used the word a more mature player, which is something that you always kind of wonder when it comes to Ronald Acuña. Is, you know, he plays such childlike in a free way, in a good way, that with him playing like that, you also have to deal with these things, which is he's going to be going all out all the time. We saw him immediately come back from this groin injury. The man is standing on first base while Brian Jordan and the rest of the guys are out there like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Braves are obviously going to be slow to bring him back. And like, he's not going to steal bases. And then pew, he's off to second, you know, like the man had, what was it? Cause he didn't steal any bases today.
I don't think
that I can remember. Anyway. So he's got 6 stolen bases. Yesterday it was 6 stolen bases in 11 games. So now 6 and 12. So he's stealing every other game. That's going to put up some big numbers really, really fast, or it's going to cause him to deal with some injuries. Now, Snit had said that even as far back as last season, they've had conversations with Ronald Acuña about essentially how Snit phrased it was when to go all out and when not to go all out. Clearly, running to first base is not an issue for Ronald Acuña Jr., who was tracked at 30.1 feet per second last night running to first base. I mean, insane speed, and that's how, you know, he beat out the tag that they eventually reviewed and found that he was safe. So you're going to get those exciting things from him, but you're also constantly going to have to deal with the ramifications, which is he could get hurt at a moment's notice. I know there have been some people within our station who were like, look, the Braves rushed Ronald Acuña back too soon. No, they didn't. I mean, the only reason they could have rushed him back too soon was just not playing him anywhere and having him sit on a shelf somewhere, you know, like because if his feet were on the ground, he was going to be running, training, doing whatever he could to be back. And as we had talked about when we saw, you know, my uncle sent me a video of him in AAA, like he was speedy, he was running, he was going all out, proving that he was ready. So the Braves were really kind of handcuffed by Ronald Acuña Jr. to, we got to play him up here if he's going to be doing all of that. So it's just, it's a catch-22. It's a tough thing that you're just constantly going to be battling with.
I mean, so baseball is a physical grind, right? You're playing the sport every single day. And I think the fans, honestly, because I know that I was like this before I really started covering the team day in, day out. I took it for granted, just like I just, you know, I was like, oh, baseball, that's a fun game. You know, you go out there and play once a day. It's not that hard, but it really is. I mean, these guys put a lot of work in just getting their bodies prepared to play a game. And it's a long day out there. It's a lot of time on your feet if you're, you know, obviously playing in the field. So it's obviously a grind. And it's so interesting, the conversation about, you know, was he rushed back or has he been, you know, rushed back and all that, because there's like this concept of like having zero rest, like you're injured, you're not doing anything. And then there's playing every day. And there's got to be a middle ground there for a player who's in a recovery process, who's trying to get back to that 100%, you know, physical fitness level. And so I think that with Ronald, I think the team has handled this appropriately, where it's like, if he can provide value for the team, we should be trying to extract that value. The problem is that because of the way he plays, you know, he might not be able to give you maximum value in terms of being able to play every single inning of every single game, you know, in the field, all that stuff. So it's up to the team to manage that, to try to get the most value from him while also mitigating the risks that the injury, and not even just it's not necessarily the injury, but I think it's just the general layoff of just not having done the physical activity that you're normally accustomed to for close to a year. I think that's where you start to, like, you know, then you get the groins and these other little, you know, issues that pop up when you do start, you know, performing again at a high level. So it's just something that the team's going to have to manage. But I don't think that they've, you know, handled him inappropriately to this point in getting him to the major league level and playing. It's just one of those things where it's going to be tough for fans, I think, sometimes. And who knows, he's going to get better and better every day in terms of his, you know, his physical level. But if he doesn't play, you know, someday, it's going to irritate fans, because fans want to see him. Fans know that he can provide, you know, value for them on the field. But the Braves have to do what's best for them long term, which might need to be, you know, sitting him, like they've said before, the day after a day game after a night game, or on after travel day, whatever it is. You know, it's up to the Braves to manage that as best they can.
Yeah, I think the best way of going about it would see, I'm not in favor of resting him. Only for the sake of it gets him out of rhythm. And I think that's kind of the struggle that we saw when they first brought him back, and they did this like play in the field, DH, rest, play in the field, DH, rest, or however they went about it. I'm now looking at it as his rest day, I think, should be DHing.
That's where I'm at. I think he should be DHing more than he has been.
Yes. And honestly, you're right. It's going to cause a liability to be out there in the outfield. You were aware of that at the beginning of the season, and you didn't make any moves.
Exactly. It's not like this is unexpected. In fact, this is probably better than they had expected when they were building this team.
Exactly. So I think you have to be fine. You know, it's one of those, you can't be shocked at like, oh no, we might actually have to play Marcelo Zuna out in left. Yeah, you were fine doing that to start the year. Mm-hmm. So unless you want to make some moves, and, you know, that's one of those, like he's finally starting to get going offensively, so you want to keep his bat around, I assume. So you're stuck. This is something that you're going to have to deal with. Joe, there is something that has happened since we last spoke, because we had a lot of conversation about what's going to happen with that fifth starter. Seems that the Braves have essentially made that decision, or at least for the short term, bringing up Tucker Davidson, giving him that look. He looked really good, I thought, on Tuesday. However, this leads us into this is the new Spencer Strider now. Mm-hmm. And that is because Tyler Matzek has hit the injured list with something that, I'll be honest, I'm not the least bit surprised to see. To see Matzek hit the injured list. He hasn't looked right all season. Apparently, when he was just doing his regular warm-up throwing, he had some discomfort, and so they are kind of just precautionary in shutting him down and just giving him some rest. I just wouldn't be completely surprised if once this 15-day injured list stint runs up, if we don't see another, you know, a 60-day or something like that. If this gets extended longer, obviously Matzik has had those injuries in the past that have caused, you know, kind of the downward shift in his career, and and the Braves were able to really make the most of him. But that does give the opportunity, as much as I might hate it, for Spencer Strider to be the most dominant setup man in Major League Baseball, at least in my opinion.
These last couple of days, this Brewers series, he's been electric. I mean, he's been really fantastic. And that's to your point. It's like, it's annoying that we haven't gotten to see that, you know, from the start, where he may be able to provide, you know, just more innings. And who knows? I don't know. I'm sure some analytics people can discern whether he's actually providing more value out of the innings he's throwing in the bullpen, or what he would do as a starter with the same performance. But, you know, it's interesting because I was talking with Andy and Randy on Monday, talking about this, who was going to make the start, this fifth starter. And I said that, you know, I thought it'd be Spencer Strider. I thought you just, based on everything that we've talked about, based on how he's looked and all that. And then, of course, or it wasn't on Andy and Randy, by the way. It was on some other show before that. But then, of course, you know, Tucker Davidson. Yeah, Tucker Davidson mentions, he was like, when did you find out you were going to start? He's like, well, right around the time Tucker Davidson went into the game, I was like, oh, okay, so it's probably me, you know, because I think Tucker Davidson was also thinking that Spencer Strider might be getting the start as the fifth starter in the rotation this turn. So kind of funny that it worked out that way.
Well, and that's actually, so Snit said after that game that had they not needed Spencer Strider, he would have started Tuesday's game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually, you know, you would have been right. That was the plan. It was just, Snit said there were guys that they were not willing to use out of the bullpen. And so Strider was the guy that they ended up going to, which is like, what a tough, like, fall of event. I mean, things are working out fine. He's looking great.
It's kind of funny that it shook out that way, just because that's pretty much what happened to Tucker Davidson when he was denied his first start. He was supposed to make a start, you know, coming out of this, starting the season on the opening day roster, and then he was forced into being used out of the bullpen in the game, and
that's
he
right.
really did poorly, and then was optioned after that. So kind of funny how that all shook out. But you know, I've been just thinking about Strider, and I gotta say, as much as I want to see him start a game, mainly just to see it, I'm not like disappointed with the way he's being used, because he's still being used in situations where he's keeping the team, you know, in games. In that Brewers game when he was last used before today, he was in a, you know, a one run game and he pitched two innings. You know, it was like very high leverage situation that the Braves didn't ultimately end up capitalizing on. But if they had scored a couple runs at the end of that game, you know, would have, you know, you would have said Spencer Strider was one of the reasons why they would have won that game. So he's still being used as you know, an important piece, and he's almost kind of filling in for, you know, essentially how you may have used Matzik at times. I mean, not necessarily how you would use him, because Spencer Strider is going, you know, longer relief outings, which is also a little bit of an interesting twist with how he's the kind of pitcher that he is coming out of the bullpen. But it's just really tantalizing because he's just been so dominant when he's gotten out there.
Yeah, so also based off what Brian Snicker said the other day, I do expect those longer outings to not happen so much anymore.
Yeah.
It does seem that they are pointing him in the direction of taking Matzik's spot, which is why when they start talking about wanting to see him in that, you know, that essentially that seventh inning role, I'm like, okay, so you must know something about Matzik that you're not necessarily giving away. Or maybe they're just, you know, forward thinking. I don't know. But, I mean, him coming, he threw 11 pitches today. 9 of them are strikes, and he struck out the side on, like, everything was like 98 plus. You know, it's just insane.
Yeah.
He's so good. And it just, it's one of those, I think the thing that I get frustrated about is the fact that I just want, I know he has so much talent, and I know he can pitch longer, so I just want to see it longer. You know, it's like it's so dominant, and I know he's had a couple bad outings, But I just want him to get the, not the credit, but just like the glory,
right? Yeah,
because it's
the
one of those
distinction of being like a, this, yeah,
yeah. Because in the role that he's going to be playing is one of those that, sure, come the postseason, we might look at it in a very important way. As I mean, shoot, Tyler Matzek was a massive contributor to the Braves winning a World Series. But during the regular season, you kind of took him for granted, you know? It was kind of one of those, like, oh, yeah, Matt's good again. Yeah, cool. You know, it was one of the, like, the Braves, you didn't have to worry about 7, 8, 9 for the Braves. Well, outside of Will Smith.
What I would say to this is I don't hate the way that the Braves are using him in the bullpen role, but I still wouldn't, like, rule out him being a starter for this team down the road, whether that's, like, later this season if something happens or even next year, because I just keep on looking to Max Fried's career when I look at Spencer Strider and the fact that Max Fried was used largely out of the bullpen during his rookie year or, you know, his kind of breakout year in 2018. And he has gone on to then, you know, really refine his craft and become a great starter over the years. And he's consistently credited his time in the bullpen for helping him with that. Just in the idea of having to go out and focus on a hitter and not be thinking about the entirety of the start. So I think that a lot of people might look at the way that they're using Strider and thinking, okay, they're like grooming him to be the closer just because he's in the bullpen right now. But I don't think it's that cut and dry. Maybe that could be the case, but you know, he's still so young. He's got every, you know, they got all options are still available on the table with Strider going forward.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is I am reaching a place where, like, kind of hope now that he doesn't start, because that would mean that something else has gone wrong. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, right, we're kind of looking at a situation, I mean, With the way that Tucker Davidson played in this last start, if you can expect to get at least similar results, I mean, he's obviously not going to go scoreless through five every outing, but if you can get, especially you see his numbers, what he had done in Gwinnett, he looked really good in Gwinnett. If he can keep that up, he's earned that fifth spot. Okay, so who are you waiting to struggle then? You know, is it Charlie? Is it Ian Anderson? Hopefully neither. And so we've actually reached a point where I'm kind of like, okay, cool. No, I'm comfortable with him taking that that seventh inning spot. Or ideally, if Matzek comes back healthy, you know, him getting some longer relief stuff. I want Spencer Strider used in moments where games are winnable.
Sure, absolutely.
Because he has the stuff of a guy, you know, who keeps you in games. Like, don't waste that. Mm-hmm. I think that's all of where I'm at with him.
And I think that that's why people were frustrated earlier in the season, because he was a pitcher who could throw more innings. So then he was therefore being used in these kind of long relief opportunities that weren't very high leverage. And maybe that was also a good point in time at, you know, in the season to use him in those situations, because he was younger now. But now that he's got his feet wet, yeah, for sure, you definitely want someone with his talent to be in high leverage situations when the game matters. But Caleb, you mentioned Charlie Morton and Ian Anderson, so let's just turn this conversation over to the bullpen or to the starting rotation now. I think that, you know, for me, this, you know, obviously, since we talked a week ago, the team has played 6 games and they're 2-4 with the loss today. But I got to say, one of the green shoots I see on this team is this rotation really coming together really well. You know, Max Fried is Max Fried. We pretty much know what he's going to be. But the big ones, the big, you know, performance really in my mind is the start by Charlie Morton this Saturday, you know, striking out 9, which was huge because he hadn't really seen the strikeout numbers up where they typically are for him. So that was hugely encouraging. And obviously to get out of there, I think no runs. Did he give up a run in that start? I can't remember. He didn't give up a run the start before.
One.
I think he gave up. Yeah, I think he would have given up one this one and went an inning longer. So really good to start to see from him. Ian Anderson continues to just kind of steadily improve, kind of back to the level that we're seeing. And Kyle Wright obviously had that one, really the one bad inning against the Red Sox. But other than that, the guy has continued to be super, super solid. And now you got Tucker Davidson, you know, coming through, obviously, with a good start last night. So, I don't know. Where do you pick it up from what everything I just laid out there for you?
It's one of those, like, I'm sure there are a million teams in this league who would love to have Ian Anderson to be their quote-unquote worst pitcher.
Right.
I mean, because that's honest. That's honestly what the Braves are dealing with right now, is the fact, like, Ian Anderson is the one who we're still kind of on the, like, all right, well, he's not looking bad anymore. Not particularly
not great. Yeah.
Good.
Not his best, but...
Yeah, and I think it's one of those... It's frustrating. I think it's tough because of the dominant stuff that you'd seen from him in the past, and I thought the trajectory was going to be more than it is, and I mean, he's another one that's like... I mean, he is still kind of young. You know, like, he's only 23, 24 years old.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, you know, this idea of
Poor guy's got a hairline like mine makes him look way older.
Well, that's one of the... It's just, you know... Any idea of like, we gotta, you know, throw him out of there. Like, I mean, he threw one bad pitch in Monday's game.
Yeah.
One bad pitch, and it cost him the game. You know, he spikes that ball, that I can't even remember who from the Brewers scored on. But it's just one of those, it's really tough. The walks, I believe, are down. The walks are down from where they had been earlier in the year. He's still pitching 5-6 innings. Like it's one of those, and that's pretty much your weak spot. I mean, unless you obviously want to go to your fifth rotation spot, which I don't know. I have a lot of confidence in Tucker Davidson, and I think that one's just going to kind of get figured out. You know, old Tuck Tuck from TikTok. I'm just... The confidence is there. It's Charlie, you're right, seems to be whatever was going wrong with him figured out. Like, this rotation doesn't concern me at all anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we joke about, you know, Tuck Tuck, but like, if he can be, you know, even close to the pitcher that he was when we saw him yesterday, I mean, this rotation is in really, really good shape. Like, what we're not dealing with this year, at least to this extent, or in this point, not knock on wood, but it's not like you have a Drew Smiley on your hands or a Cole Hamels on your hands, or like, you know, you don't have this like anchor that's just like keeping down, like kind of pinning down the rotation to an extent where like you have last year, for example, Drew Smiley just kind of struggled and plodded his whole way through the season, and he wasn't because of his, you know, his free agent status, the fact that he's a free agent, like you couldn't just like option him and fill in somebody else. So the Braves don't really seem to be at that point with anybody in this current rotation. You know, again, so long as nobody sustains a serious injury, I think we can maybe pencil in a Max Fried blister for at one point this season. Yeah. But you know, outside of anything major, I think that this rotation is looking in really good shape. And I think that, you know, and for the fifth starter, you know, even if it is not Tucker Davidson, you know, maybe Bryce Elder is figuring something out, then go back to him. Maybe Tuki Toussaint has figured something out. And I'm actually kind of surprised he has not really gotten any run with this team so far this year, outside of like getting called up for the roster a day, not pitching, and then going right back down. I think that was when Austin Riley left on parental leave. So they still have some other options they can go to. But having said that, Kyle Muller, another option potentially. But this is now with Tucker's performance last night. I mean, this is his kind of opportunity to run with it. And you could tell just watching Snit after the game, talking to the reporters, you could just like tell he was like really pleased with the way that Davidson threw the ball, because he was going after hitters and he was throwing strikes, and that's just something that Snit loves to see. He hates it when a guy, even if he like manages to get by, if he's being wasteful and a lot of non-competitive pitches and all that stuff, which Tucker Davidson was not doing, so credit to him.
Well, and it's one of those things, like, so we get through, okay, rotation don't think is that big of an issue. I honestly don't think the bullpen is too much of a liability, especially if you got Spencer Strider in there, Will Smith in there, Kenley Jansen, like, of course.
Colin McHugh. Yeah. I saw his like stats have just gone viral for like how good his numbers are across the board.
Well, and AJ Minter.
Yeah.
Like, AJ Minter has been dominant. Yeah. I tweeted about I can't remember what game I was at. It was over the weekend. But he had had like 9 appearances of 9 innings pitched, and he'd given up like 2 walks and a run, I think it was. Like, it was just insane numbers from him so far in his outings, and I think he continued that on. He pitched on Monday, if I remember correctly. So he's just another one of, it's one of those like, all right, so 2 out of 3 looking pretty good, and yet the Braves can't get wins. No. Wonder what it's it
like,
is.
Well, like, yeah. I'm just laughing at the fact it's like we're running through all these bullpen arms who have been really good and are good pitchers, and then it's like today they're throwing Jesse Chavez and Darren O'Day in extra innings. Great. I mean, I'm not trying, like, listen, like, they had already thrown a bunch of their good pitchers in that game and all that. I'm just kind of laughing at how it all shook out. But yeah,
they
mean,
can't throw them every day, Joe, you know.
I know.
I'm sure that was said today.
He's on the team.
I'm sure,
he's on the team. Sure was. That was a classic from Snit when I was there last week sometime. Somebody was asking like why he threw Tyler Thornburg in a given situation. Snit was just like, well, he's on the team.
True. But
yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate that they haven't been able to get more wins out of, you know, this good pitching they've gotten recently. In fact, you know, especially, you know, this last week to only win 2 games since we last talked, with, you know, all the good that's happened, is really kind of, again, I think that's why it's so demoralizing, and losing a game like they lost today is, it's got to be pretty demoralizing for these guys.
Well, it's one of those, I'll say it, this team's unlucky right now. I mean, you talk about some of the defensive errors that have popped up all of a sudden. Matt Olson, what, sir, what happened to your glove? Get a new one. Like, get a new glove. I'm serious, because it's one of those, some of the defensive errors that I, especially in the, it had to have been Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember now. But in the Padres series, when he had 2 in the same game, and then immediately another one, oh, Sunday's game. Yeah. Cause it was immediately first game, the Brewer series, he has another error, and it's all like real close stuff that he's just like catching the ball, dropping the ball, or, you know, just barely missing it or what. It's odd, and it's unlucky, honestly, is the point that I'm getting to, is we've reached that with the Braves. I mean, is like they're just kind of unlucky.
Olsen's a 2-time Gold Glove winner. You know,
yeah.
he doesn't make those mistakes typically, but yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm blaming the 11 a.m. game. Oh, so let's get into that. So Caleb, let's get into some quick hits here. Let's, you know, what do you think about these games? I gotta say, I watched the Friday game. I was watching some of the broadcast of it on my laptop, and the production was amazing. I didn't hear any of the commentary, but it looked great. I gotta say, I was actually pleasantly surprised. As much as we groan and gripe about, you know, then what channel are every one of us baseball fans is like old man yelling at the sky for this game being on Apple TV instead of like our classic Bally Sports, who we you know and love, but gotta say, credit to them on the production side, because it was fantastic.
So here's my issue, and this is something like a lot of Braves fans, I'm sure, are like, oh, Major League Baseball, I can't believe, no. You need to be looking at the Braves. Every team manages they deal with their own, you know, TV setup. Like they're negotiating their own contracts. This was something that was kind of thrown together last minute, much like the, you know, because with everything going on at the beginning of the season, I don't even think this was scheduled when they initially released the schedule.
Yeah, it's not. It was not.
I'm fine with them being broadcast on these networks. However, I need Major League Baseball to not allow, and this would never happen, but it's just my thing. They need to not allow exclusives. You need to sign with your home network for the season. Now, you know, the regular season, you get in the postseason, that's a whole other thing, and networks can negotiate with teams and, you know, get your money.
Mm-hmm.
But for the regular season, there does not need to be a game that I, who pays, you know, nearly $200 for cable, can't watch because it is then put on another service.
Yeah.
And I even with Apple TV, I will almost let it slide because at least Apple TV is like, we'll just create an account with us and we'll let you watch the game for free. The thing about Sunday's game was, that was the game that I was working. I am one of the few people who actually owns a Peacock subscription only because my cable provider said, here, have it free for 2 years.
I'm the same way. I got the same exact deal from Xfinity.
Exactly. They were like, oh, you know what? For the expensive cable package that we make you. Yeah, it's one of those, throw this in. And it was one of those like,
yes.
Yeah. Well, and Joe, you want to know the one thing, like every time that I log in or I go to log into Peacock, there's one TV series that I watch on Peacock, or I did until I watched all the episodes up until the ones that Peacock had. Yellowstone.
Oh, Yellowstone. Oh, is that on Peacock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got hooked into Yellowstone.
Snit's a big Yellowstone guy.
Well, and the weird thing about that, now we've gotten way from baseball, but just follow
me. We're in quick hits. This is exactly. It's all fun.
Well, it's so Yellowstone comes on TV, I think, on Paramount Network.
Yeah.
And then they have their own subscription-based service with CBS. It's not on there. They signed a separate deal with Peacock that's where the episodes go at the end of the season. Like, it's very strange.
For rewatch. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. My issue with signing on to these individual things, like Sunday's game had me really old man yelling at cloud, because Peacock was the only way that you could watch that game. It was only available by subscribing, and you had to pay for that game. Joe, let me ask you this trivia question. How many Braves games are going to be on Peacock the rest of the season?
I don't know. How many?
Zero.
Oh.
They don't have another game. So you're telling me you want your fans to pay for a Peacock subscription, even if it was just for a month, to never see their team play again? It's ridiculous. Like you're telling me Peacock Network, you couldn't do what Apple TV did and just, I mean...
Put it on
a free version.
Yeah,
you can hit me with ads all you want, you know, but... But yeah, this idea that we're putting things and we're making things exclusive. I know ESPN has dealt with that. You know, they have the exclusives on the Sunday Night Baseball stuff, and that's made it very difficult on some people. But at least ESPN having an exclusive makes it like it's still on cable. It needs to be. I mean, it's one of those like it needs to be there because it's not even like. It drives me insane because all the cord cutters, you can't even cord cut because the Braves are on Bally and you're stuck having to have it either on cable or DirecTV's streaming network.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Were you able to watch it at all when it was on Peacock? Because I'm just curious about how the production quality was, if it was any noticeably different from like what a game would normally be on Bally.
So I did. I pulled it up on my laptop because I was very curious to see, because I'm with you. Apple TV's production, whoo, they had some really nice cameras out there.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Like they, I was like, okay, golf clap. I'll give it to you. You know, that was nice. Peacock wasn't like it was just like
pretty normal.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty standard. Like we're watching it on Bally.
I was surprised at how impressed I was with the Apple. And I was like, "Damn, this is good." You're right. The cameras that they were using, it's like some of them were definitely like the ones they've been using on Fox NFL for like when they scored the touchdowns and like they're like the super high def, the ones they use on the sidelines. And but even just the main cameras from like the main pitching stand were definitely like an upgraded camera. It was just definitely sharper. The color was like more bright and vivid. I was just impressed. So I wouldn't hate more games on Apple TV, to be perfectly honest, as long as they keep them on that the free version, because I don't have Apple TV.
Yeah, but I'm also so let me just go with this. Here's another reason why I don't want games to be exclusive to certain networks. You know how sad Chip Carey looked in the booth sitting up next to me on Sunday? Like I don't like seeing Chip Carey and good grief, why are names blanking on me? But Paul was up there, all sitting close in the...
Oh, because the Bally crew's right on the... Yeah. They're right there. So they're all usually not there because they're...
Yeah,
busy.
But they were in, like, hats and shorts, and I was like, this is not right. This is not, you know, but still, like, how frustrating it must have been to, like, to be Chip Carey, and you still got to come to the ballpark, and you still got to keep up with the game because you're going to be calling the next game. Yeah, it's just one of those, like, yeah, don't do exclusives. I know it is a money situation. Like, obviously, why are they doing this? Are they doing this because this is better for the fans? No, they're doing this because this is money. I just wonder, having done it, if they'll look back at all of the metrics of how many people watch and that sort of thing, of like, if it'll be worth it. Because I imagine it won't be. I imagine them doing this, where they do the exclusive, will be as much good as, you know, the Braves had a streaker today at the game.
Yeah.
That we didn't get to see because now they've decided that, you know, cameras aren't going to be put on them. And I'm assuming in an attempt to, like, discourage people from, you know, doing that. But, like, does that really work? Like, does throwing games on these individual networks, these streaming services, really get the impact they want? I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things for us to get frustrated about.
I obviously come at this from, you know, somebody who I follow and cover soccer and I'm a fan of soccer, and soccer here, it typically gets like the least amount of investment in terms of what it takes to put the game on TV. So even if it's on ESPN or like a big network, it's usually like crappy cameras, the shows, you know, the pregame shows are not like, you know, not a lot of production value there. And so that,
or they just don't do them.
Or nothing at all. So that's why I was actually happy to see the level of investment from Apple to put that much into them wanting to actually present the game in a good way, as opposed to them wanting this Friday Night Baseball deal and then just kind of for the money of it and not really, you know, invest in terms of technology or, you know, personnel or whatever to put it on. So that's one of the reasons I was happy.
I will say this, Joe, and this is speculation because we've come so far from, you know, where we were talking earlier. Apple TV doing this, I think, is putting in this much effort because I've heard rumblings that they want NFL Sunday Ticket.
Ooh.
And so maybe, or they want like a Thursday night situation, you know, where they have a game of the week sort of thing.
Because doesn't Amazon have an NFL game now?
Amazon is signed on for Thursday nights.
That's right.
However, I'm sure if Apple could get in the game, even if they don't have their own night, if they get a game, you know, that NFL money is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's
so,
true.
So that's I think really it's one of point. Those.
Got to put their best foot forward. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is a step towards, you know, showing, hey, we're serious. We'll do this game stuff right. And it's kind of mutually beneficial to Major League Baseball as they get to use the equipment and it, you're right, it does, it looks really good. I'm with you. I haven't heard much of the commentary, only because I tend to mute.
I know, exactly, same here. I never really listen to games, honestly. I'm usually listening to something else.
Yeah, well, I know, like, Melanie Newman did the Apple TV game, and she's local to Atlanta.
Okay.
And so I did hear some of her, and, like, I had nothing bad. You know, it was fine.
It's fine, yeah.
But,
well, I would say, if anybody is like upset about the streaming, like, you know, this being on a streaming service, the game, expect more of it, not less of it. These streaming services, this is like the new frontier for them, I think, which is live sports. It's something that they've been hesitant to get into. I actually have a family member, my brother, used to work for Netflix, and so he's kind of we've talked about this for years about how, you know, it's always been a big question, and there have been bids by these streaming networks for rights that they just haven't been bidding high enough, above and beyond some of these cable carriers to actually get the rights. But I know Apple has actually put a large bid in for Premier League rights, but NBC and ended up having getting their rights re-upped. But there's going to be more of this stuff, not less of it. So, yeah, just brace yourself for that, I guess, and hope that everybody puts what Apple TV put into the broadcast.
Well, so we started with some bad news of the Braves losing today and kind of a womp womp, and we follow it up with a womp womp.
Of, more bad news.
If you don't like streaming, get over it, because, yeah, there's more coming. And
some
and
people might
right,
like that, because a lot of people don't even get a lot of these games because the Bally cut off from, like, YouTube TV or whatever. So
yeah, well, it's because... So Bally is... They have already started. They're making their own subscription.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, it's like $20 a month, which is another frustrating thing. Of like, yay, another thing to add. I actually, you know, and this is, once again, we've gotten so far off base, but let's keep going. I heard the other day someone in the office talk about the fact of, you know, us doing this at Career, you can like write this off your taxes. And I was like, huh, might look into that next year, next time tax season comes around. Because, yeah, this gets expensive, having all the channels to make sure we can watch all the games. But before we get too, well, we've already gotten too wild off base, but we'll wrap things up. And that
we'll save Matt Olson's meaningless 15 league leading 15 doubles for next week.
Yeah.
That's my hot take. There's never anybody like on base. I feel like these doubles that he's hitting are the most like, just if you hit a double in the woods and nobody sees it, did it actually happen? I don't know.
Well, and it's also one of those like, I feel like Braves fans haven't quite warmed up to Matt.
I know.
You know, things got hot, then things really cooled off, and now they're not bad, not good. It's just not necessarily scoring runs.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And that's not something... well, it's something where we were experiencing with Freddie, and so maybe we need that streak to pick up. You know, the hitting streak for Matt Olson, the win streak coming for the Braves.
Hopefully
the Marlins are the team that gets started with.
You need vibes. Braves. You got to turn around the vibes. Once the vibes turn around, then the feelings towards players will be getting better and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully can three games against the Marlins in Miami, and then the Braves will come home, where we'll be talking to you next Wednesday, as the Braves will be in the middle of a four-game homestand with the Phillies, who don't have Bryce Harper playing in the outfield. Bryce Harper is only DHing right now because he tore his UCL. Apparently, that makes it to where you can still swing a bat, but you can't throw. Something to keep an eye on. Something to definitely keep
somehow
an eye on.
Somehow that works.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on as the Braves at that point next week will be coming home. So hopefully we have good news, because it didn't seem like we had a whole lot of it today. But for my co-host Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a good one. You'd be looking at the Braves. Every team manages they deal with their own TV setup. Like they're negotiating their own contracts. This was something that was kind of thrown together last minute, much like the, you know, because with everything going on at the beginning of the season, I don't even think this was scheduled when they initially released the schedule.
Yeah, it was not.
I'm fine with them being broadcast on these networks. However, I need Major League Baseball to not allow, and this would never happen, but it's just my thing, they need to not allow exclusives. You need to sign with your home network for the season. Now, you know, the regular season, you get in the postseason, that's a whole other thing. And networks can negotiate with teams and, you know, get your money.
Mm-hmm.
But for the regular season, there does not need to be a game that I, who pays, you know, nearly $200 for cable, can't watch because it is then put on another service.
Yeah.
And I even with Apple TV, I will almost let it slide, because at least Apple TV is like, we'll just create an account with us, mm-hmm. and we'll let you watch the game for free. The thing about Sunday's game was, I am one of the, I was actually, that was the game that I was working. I am one of the few people who actually owns a Peacock subscription only because my cable provider said, here, have it free for 2 years.
I'm the same way. I got the same exact deal from Xfinity.
Exactly. They were like, oh, you know what? For the expensive cable package that we make right, you. Yeah, it's one of those. Throw this in. And it was one of those like.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and Joe, you want to know the one thing, like every time that I log in or I go to log into Peacock, there's one TV series that I watch on Peacock, or I did until I watched all the episodes up until the ones that Peacock had. Yellowstone.
Oh, Yellowstone. Oh, is that on Peacock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got hooked into Yellowstone.
And Snit's a big Yellowstone guy.
Well, and the weird thing about that, now we've gotten way away from baseball, but just follow
we're in quick hits. This is exactly. It's all fun.
Well, it's so Yellowstone comes on TV, I think, on Paramount Network.
Yeah.
And then they have their own subscription-based service with CBS. It's not on there. They signed a separate deal with Peacock that's where the episodes go at the end of the season. Like, it's very strange.
For rewatch. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. My issue with signing on to these individual things, like Sunday's game had me really old man yelling at cloud, because Peacock was the only way that you could watch that game. It was only available by subscribing, and you had to pay for that game. Joe, let me ask you this trivia question. How many Braves games are going to be on Peacock the rest of the season?
I don't know. How many?
Zero.
Oh.
They don't have another game. So you're telling me you want your fans to pay for a Peacock subscription, for this, even if it was just for a month, to never see their team play again? It's ridiculous. Like you're telling me Peacock Network, you couldn't do what Apple TV did and just, I mean...
Put it on
you
a free can, version.
Yeah, you can hit me with ads all you want, you know, but... But yeah, this idea that we're putting things and we're making things exclusive. I know ESPN has dealt with that. You know, they have the exclusives on the Sunday Night Baseball stuff, and that's made it very difficult on some people. But at least ESPN having an exclusive makes it like it's still on cable. It needs to be. I mean, it's one of those like it needs to be there because it's not even like. It drives me insane because all the cord cutters, you can't even cord cut because the Braves are on Bally and you're stuck having to have it either on cable or DirecTV's streaming network.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Were you able to watch it at all when it was on Peacock? Because I'm just curious about how the production quality was, if it was any noticeably different from like what a game would normally be on Bally.
So I did. I pulled it up on my laptop because I was very curious to see, because I'm with you. Apple TV's production, whoo, they had some really nice cameras out there.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Like they, I was like, okay, golf clap. I'll give it to you. You know, that was nice. Peacock wasn't like it was just
pretty
like
pretty normal.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty standard. Like we're watching it on Bally.
It was. I was surprised at how impressed I was with the Apple. And I was like, "Damn, this is good." you're right. The cameras that they were using. It's like some of them were definitely like the ones they've been using on Fox NFL for like when they scored the touchdowns and like they're like the super high def, the ones they use on the sidelines. And but even just the main cameras from like the main pitching stand were definitely like an upgraded. Camera. It was just definitely sharper. The color was like more bright and vivid. I was just impressed. So I wouldn't hate more games on Apple TV, to be perfectly honest, as long as they keep them on that little the free version, because I don't have Apple TV.
Yeah, but I'm also so let me just go with this. Here's another reason why I don't want games to be exclusive to certain networks. You know how sad Chip Carey looked in the booth sitting up next to me on Sunday? like I don't like seeing Chip Carey and good grief, why are names blanking on me? But Paul was up there, all sitting close in the
Bally crew's right on the seat. Yeah, they're right
so
there.
They all
they're usually
sat up
not there.
There
because they're
Yeah, but they were in like hats and shorts, and I was like, this is not right. This is not, you know, but still, like, how how frustrating it must have been to like be Chip Carey and you still got to come to the ballpark and you still got to keep up with the game.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be calling the next game. Yeah, it's just one of those, like, yeah, don't do exclusives. I know it is a money situation. Like, obviously, why are they doing this? Are they doing this because this is better for the fans? No, they're doing this because this is money. I just wonder, having done it, if they'll look back at all of the metrics of how many people watch and that sort of thing, of like, if it'll be worth it. Because I imagine it won't be. I imagine them doing this, where they do the exclusive, will be as much good as, you know, the Braves had a streaker today at the game.
Yeah, yeah.
That we didn't get to see because now they've decided that, cameras aren't going to be put on them. And I'm assuming in an attempt to like discourage people from, you know, doing that. But like, does that really work? Like, does throwing games on these individual networks, these streaming services, really get the impact they want? I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things for us to get frustrated about.
I obviously come at this from, you know, somebody who I follow and cover soccer and I'm a fan of soccer, and soccer here, it typically gets like the least amount of investment in terms of what it takes to put the game on TV. So even if it's on ESPN or like a big network, it's usually like crappy cameras, the shows, you know, the pregame shows are not like, you know, not a lot of production value there. And so that,
or they just don't do them.
Or nothing at all. So that's why I was actually happy to see the level of investment from Apple to put that much into them wanting to actually present the game in a good way, as opposed to them wanting this Friday Night Baseball deal and then just kind of for the money of it and not really, you know, invest in terms of technology or, personnel or whatever to put it on. So that's one of the reasons I was happy.
I will say this, Joe, and this is speculation because we've come so far from, you know, where we were talking earlier. Apple TV doing this, I think, is putting in this much effort because I've heard rumblings that they want NFL Sunday Ticket.
Ooh.
And so maybe, or they want like a Thursday night situation, where they have a game of the week sort of thing.
Because doesn't Amazon have an NFL game now?
Amazon is signed on for Thursday nights.
That's right.
However, I'm sure if Apple could get in the game, even if they don't have their own night, if they get a game, that the NFL money is different.
Yeah, and that's
so
true.
So
that's
I think really it's one of point. Those.
Got to put their best foot forward. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is a step towards, you know, showing, hey, we're serious. We'll do this game stuff right. And it's kind of mutually beneficial to Major League Baseball as they get to use the equipment and you're right, it looks really good. I'm with you. I haven't heard much of the commentary, only because I tend to mute.
I know, exactly, same here. I never really listen to games, honestly. I'm usually listening to something else.
Yeah, well, I know like Melanie Newman did the Apple TV game, and she's local to Atlanta.
Okay.
And so I did hear some of her and like I had nothing bad, you know, it was fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
But
well, I would say if anybody is like upset about the streaming, like, you know, this being on a streaming service, the game, expect more of it, not less of it. These streaming services, this is like the new frontier for them, I think, which is live sports. It's something that they've been hesitant to get into. I actually have a family member. My brother used to work for Netflix. And so he's kind of we've talked about this for years about how, you know, it's always been a big question. And there have been bids by these streaming networks for rights that they just haven't been bidding high enough, above and beyond some of these cable carriers to actually get the rights. But I know Apple has actually put a large bid in for Premier League rights, but NBC and ended up having getting their rights re-upped. But there's going to be more of this stuff, not less of it. So, yeah, just brace yourself for that, I guess, and hope that everybody puts what Apple TV put into the broadcast.
Well, so we started with some bad news of the Braves losing today and kind of a womp womp, and we follow it up with a womp womp.
And more bad news. Yeah,
if you don't like streaming, get over it, because, yeah, there's more coming. And
some
and
people might like that, because a lot of people don't even get a lot of these games because the Bally cut off from, like, YouTube TV or whatever. So
yeah, well, it's because... So Bally is... They have already started. They're making their own subscription.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, it's like $20 a month, which is another frustrating thing. Of like, yay, another thing to add. I actually, you know, and this is, once again, we've gotten so far off base, but let's keep going. I heard the other day someone in the office talk about the fact of, you know, us doing this a career, you can like write this off your taxes. And I was like, huh, might look into that next year, next time tax season comes around. Because, yeah, this gets expensive, having all the channels to make sure we can watch all the games. But before we get too, well, we've already gotten too wild off base, but we'll wrap things up. And that
we'll save Matt Olson's meaningless 15 league leading 15 doubles for next week.
Yeah.
That's my hot take. There's never anybody like on base. I feel like these doubles that he's hitting are the most like, just if you hit a double in the woods and nobody sees it, did it actually happen? I don't know.
Well, and it's also one of those like, I feel like Braves fans haven't quite warmed up to Matt.
I know.
You know, things got hot, then things really cooled off, and now they're not bad, not good. It's just not necessarily scoring runs.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And that's not something... well, it's something where we were experiencing with Freddie, and so maybe we need that streak to pick up. You know, the hitting streak for Matt Olson, the win streak coming for the Braves.
Exactly.
Hopefully the Marlins are the team that gets started with.
You need vibes. Is, you got to turn around the vibes. Once the vibes turn around, then the feelings towards players will be getting better and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully you can have three games, Marlins. Three games against the Marlins in Miami, and then the Braves will come home, where we'll be talking to you next Wednesday, as the Braves will be in the middle of a four-game homestand with the Phillies, who don't have Bryce Harper playing in the outfield. Bryce Harper is only DHing right now because he tore his UCL. Apparently, that makes it to where you can still swing a bat, but you can't throw. Something to keep an eye on. Something to definitely keep
Somehow
an eye on.
Somehow that works.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on as the Braves at that point next week will be coming home. So hopefully we have good news, because it didn't seem like we had a whole lot of it today. But for my co-host Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a good one.